Welcome back. I'm Sean Barrett once again. This is Interesting Times Gang's second episode in the Smart Aging podcast. And today I'm joined by our co-founder, Anna Eliasson. In our last episode, we met our head of design, Alexander Westerlund. And today we have the privilege and honor of speaking to another one of our co-founders, Anna. So Anna, first and foremost, would you like to present yourself and tell us who you are?
Thank you for that brilliant introduction of myself. Sure. So my name is Anna. I've worked with you guys for 5 years now in this context. I'm one of the co-founders, and for all intents and purposes in this project, I'm managing it for us. So project management. Right now we're in a research phase within this project, and I guess that's me. My background is as an engineer, way back when, but a play pretend engineer, because it's within media technology, so I guess more human-centric understanding and design. That's been my focus.
Excellent. So basically, if we have to summarize, your role in the project is making sure that the creative and innovative people manage to keep track of everything that's important and deliver feasible and viable results at the end of each phase of our project, which is essential to have this combination.
That's the story of my life.
The story of your life. We're very happy that you do that, and you do it so well. I think for anybody who didn't listen to our previous episode in the Smart Aging podcast, it would be great for you to describe in your own words what Interesting Times Gang does, what we do in our design studio.
We're focusing on innovation and design. I would say we're creating interior objects with bio-based materials or recycled materials. So sustainability is a large focus for us, and the way that we can create change and innovation is through designing interiors, designing objects, designing actual things that change people's living environment, using hopefully more sustainable materials.
That's right. And I think you've sort of been able to summarize what we believe is fairly different from most other partners in academia or in research, where we are very much at the sharp end of innovation, where we have a lot of commercial clients, property owners, and public spaces, where our work is put into sort of real world scenarios and tested in real environments, which I think is a huge motivation for us to be able to see innovation through to something that's actually used and implemented in real spaces. I think on a more personal note, it would be I myself have a very limited relationship with elderly care. I'm originally from South Africa, and the culture that I come from, when people get to a certain age, they sort of move in with their kids. So I grew up with my maternal grandmother living in our house, because we didn't really at the time have elderly care, and my parents aren't in that situation themselves. But you are have a much more intimate relationship with elderly care, since we know each other quite well. So could you share a little bit about your relationship with this category?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's lovely, I have to say, having experience firsthand with elderly care in Sweden. I'm beginning to like understand the appeal of having your grandparents move in with you and taking care of them, and at least, you know, getting your kids to and them to kind of experience each other, even when their bodies are starting to become, you know, old and limited in what they can do. It's unfortunate, I think, that the society that we live in doesn't really cater to that possibility. I mean, here in Sweden, obviously, everyone is working, both men and women, which is great. I'm not saying that. I love my work. but I do see definitely my mom. So she lives in an elderly facility. I'm from the west coast of Sweden. We're in Stockholm now. It's on the east coast. So it takes me about 5 hours to get there. And just having her closer would definitely be beneficial. So she moved into an elderly home 2 years ago. And my experience is that it's so dependent on the place that you get to live in. Because in Sweden, it's obviously a system that decides, okay, in this city, we have these different options for you, depending if you have
dementia.
Thank you. Or if you have like physical disabilities, they would maybe recommend one or a few different places. But there's a queue, there's a system. So it kind of, you don't really know where you get the offer to stay. And then if you're lucky, it's a good place. It has maybe a good physical structure, like the house itself allows you to go outside or be in nature. It allows you to have common spaces where you meet other people in the same situation. And if you're really lucky, you have great people, great staff caring for you, because they become such a huge part. They can become such a huge part of your everyday life, depending on your situation. So yeah, my mom, she moved into one particular housing, which is like this full care facility, because she's starting to lose her memory a bit. So that's one problem, so to say. And then she has physical limitations. Yeah. So she moves. She started moving around with a rollator.
Yeah.
with aid. And the place that she started in, it was this like small facility. It's very dated decor, I would say. If you go into it, it kind of feels like a hospital-like environment. No one's really taking that much care into decorating it into something special, but they did hang like some art on the walls, etc. Yeah. And then the second floor was a bit more, luckily that's where my mom was. They took a bit more care in that floor, which is totally random. The people working there were great. Then the municipality decided to closed that facility, and they moved everyone there to a newly built facility.
Okay.
So brand new facility, you know, supposed to be like great.
Yeah, that's state of the art.
Yeah, that's what you think, right? And they did, I have to say, it's like they did actually take some notice to like what materials, wooden doors, very nice flooring, soothing colors, I would say. But it was a high rise, like 5 floors, yeah, which is big from the small town I'm from. So they couldn't really move. I mean, people are in wheelchairs,
yeah,
and they have difficulties with mobility.
Right.
This one guy on the floor, or man, old man, he's afraid of elevators.
That's a bit of a challenge.
So his new life is basically on the balcony.
Right.
And So I was very disappointed, I have to say, when they were forced to move into this facility, where and the new apartments were like smaller than my student flats.
Right.
So very small. It kind of felt like, you know, just storage units for elderly,
yeah,
waiting for them to just keel off.
Right. That's absolute worst case scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Not exactly the type of inspiring environment I would like for my mom. And I mean, the people again working there do the best they can, lovely people. They really like care about their work and the people living there. But just the physical restraint of creating that type of environment, I think, is it's disappointing, right, when that's the route the municipality decides to take. Luckily for her, she was able to get a new apartment. So we've experienced three different places
within,
in 2 years' time. Right, right. And this new place, it's back to basics with like a small wooden house or several wooden houses together. They have like this community where residents close by are 65 plus.
Yeah.
So they join in for different like activities. They have so many activities. They have this vibrant social, you know, schedule. So they have like, I was there just last week. They had like like tennis and different ball activities, games, exactly. And I think that really, just the social aspect, I think, is what I found very important. Accessibility to nature and outside, and just the general kind of way that the place is run, it adds so much value to her life if it runs smoothly.
Well, it's very pleasing to hear that it's in the end ended up in a good place, and really appreciate you sharing your personal experiences and insights, and I know it's going to be incredibly valuable for us moving forward in this project. So finally, I'd like to ask you one last question, and that's what is your ultimate dream or outcome or goal for this project, from a personal sort of ambition?
And that's a great question. I think the project overall is very ambitious. It, from my perspective, just finding maybe one thing. It doesn't have to be like the biggest revolution, but just a small thing or a bigger thing that makes my mom's life a bit easier or a bit more enjoyable. I mean, if we're dreaming big, we would identify in a very kind of concrete way. So it's not just theory and PDFs, but in a very concrete way, you know, changes that can be implemented on a local level within these houses or care facilities that has a positive outcome or just a positive benefit. I think something that we've been successful in doing in our studio is creating, actually making difficult ideas or like laboratory ideas or theoretical ideas a reality. Showcasing that you can actually go from this research paper to an actual product or an actual solution in real life that's tangible, that you can experience. So what I would love to see from this is that we have that same impact within the elderly care facility. It's something tangible that you can experience, and that's a benefit.
That's great. It's a great answer, and I think really sort of nails the idea of finding something that is a clear and tangible improvement aligns so much with Interesting Times Gang's entire reason for being and our North Star, which is to make things better by making better things. So we look forward to working together on this project with all the project partners and in the studio and doing just that. So thank you very much, Anna. Really appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a lot on your plate, a lot to do, I thought it was really valuable and insightful. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.